One is in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and verses 2 and 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3.
Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry.
Amen. One more scripture, the book of Proverbs chapter 29 and verses 18.
Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to preach to you and I want to title the message, The Power of Vision. Look at somebody and say, power of a vision. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. That word restraint actually means boundaries of a gutter. A gutter has got right, left, and a bottom. It's got, there is something that is restraining that water. The flow of the water is restrained by a wall on the right, a wall on the left, and there is something under. If you don't have a vision, your life will flow in all directions. There is no restraint. There are so many things you can do. There are so many things you can plan. But if there is a vision that is God-given, then there is a restraint. Your not only your life, but your resources, your time, everything will flow in the right direction. Are you with me? Amen. There is a dictionary called the Apple Dictionary. The definition for vision is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. I repeat, vision is the ability to think about or plan your future with imagination or wisdom. Another definition of vision is a mental image about what the future will be like. Tonight I pray the Holy Spirit will set some minds free, will set some hearts free, that your life would have purpose, that you would have a vision. Amen. That you would have a vision for your life, that you would have an impartation of God's anointing coming upon your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. A true vision that comes from God will have three things. It will have foresight, it will have hindsight, and it will have insight. I repeat, a true vision that comes from God will have foresight, will have insight, and will have hindsight. What is foresight? Foresight is like looking through a telescope. Are you with me? It's a good thing if you can buy a telescope and keep, because so many things are falling over Kerala. Hallelujah. Meteoroids are falling into this part of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Telescope is what to describe foresight, a telescope. In other words, a far off thing is brought very near, clearer to us. That's what a telescope does. So if you have a telescope, something that is very far off will become near, it will become very clear, come right in front of you. When we were young, we used to make a joke about somebody who used the binoculars for the first time. So he was standing on top of a building, and he looked, you know, his friend said, look through the binoculars. There is that pretty girl called Maria walking that way. Look. So he looked through the binoculars. And suddenly he's saying, Maria, Maria. Because everything is, Maria is so near. Are you with me? Telescope is that which is far off is brought near, where you will be able to look at your life. If your life 20 years later, 30 years later, and more than anything else, eternity is brought near to you, it becomes so clear that you can actually say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Tonight I pray that God will give you telescopic vision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to sometimes look at life through the telescope. What your next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years is going to be. Most of us only look at the next 5 minutes. When will the message end? When can we go and have some naan and some chicken? But you need to look at life 10 years, 20 years. And that's when restraint comes into your life, purpose comes into your life. If you have a vision about your next 100 years, you will plan accordingly. Years back, I read the scripture which says about the Pharisees, they are the blind leading the blind. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to be a leader like that. If you have called me to be a pastor, to be your servant, I want to have a vision which I can impart at least to the next 4 generations. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to have a vision, just not for 10 years, 20 years, but to have a long-term vision. And more than anything, there's a vision about eternity. How about there's a heaven and a hell, and you've accepted Jesus Christ, you go straight to heaven. Hallelujah. And then you know that how to discipline yourself, how to deny yourself, how to follow the Lord, because you have got vision. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. By the way, we are starting Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock youth service. Next generation to receive an impartation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. How many of you are excited about the youth going to be captured by the fire of the Holy Ghost? And in the first week of April onwards, the first Sunday of April onwards, we're going to have a Sunday evening service at 5 o'clock in English. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, they had something of a poster written here. Where did you move off? I mean, just bring it up on for a second. You know, when you go after the meeting also, just make sure that you look at the notice board. Praise the Lord. Every week, make sure that you glance at the notice board, because there'll be something exciting on the notice board. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. This is for the thing for the Sunday for the youth service. It doesn't matter. Okay, show it. It doesn't matter what the ones before you did. It doesn't matter what your daddy did. It doesn't matter what your mama did. You can still walk with God. Cornerstone invites you. Cornerstone Youth invites you on Sundays at 3 p.m. for an adipoli worship and word. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Lift your hands. Give glory to Jesus one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get back to the message. The second part, the second thing is inside. Inside is what you say, by it is like looking through a microscope. When you look through a microscope, you see things in a more detailed form. Small things will become more clear. How many of you ever sat for a biology class? They have these glass slides. And then some drops are kept there, and the professor asks you to look through that microscope. It looks like water, but when you look at that water, you will find small organisms there, which you couldn't see with your natural eye, but when you look through that microscope, you saw things in a more detailed form. Are you with me? So a vision from God will have a telescopic vision. At the same time, it will have a microscopic vision where certain things become very detailed about your life. But you should be willing to look. You look in prayer. You look through God's word. You look by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. If you're willing to look, God is willing to show. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, if you're willing to look, God is willing to show. Praise the Lord. You will have more details about your life. Are you with me? Which job to take, which job not to take. Where to go, where not to go. What kind of person to marry, what kind of person I should not marry. What business to do, what business I shouldn't do. What career I should choose, what career I shouldn't choose. Everything becomes clearer when you begin to seek the face of Jesus and say, Lord, give me vision for my life. Otherwise, if you don't have a vision, every time you're faced with a decision, you always have to go look for a man of God or a woman of God and say, please pray, please prophesy over us, please tell us what we are supposed to do. Are you with me? But every time you have the vision of your life ahead of you, in front of you, it is clear. Nobody needs to tell you. You know exactly how you should go about with your life. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. The third word that I said is hindsight. Hindsight is like looking through a rear view mirror. Look at somebody and say, look through a rear view mirror. A car driver can look through the windshield. That's the clear vision. That's what takes you forward. But you look through the rear view mirror. Why? To avoid accidents. To avoid mistakes. So a godly vision will have a telescope, will have a microscope, and will have a rear view mirror. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It shows you what is coming through your side. It helps you to correct your mistakes or minimize your mistakes. A man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to the past. A man without a vision, a man without a vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always return to the past. Are you with me? Amen. Your past becomes like a comfort zone when you don't have a vision. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel were down the mountain. Moses had gone up the mountain to pray. And while Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, the senior pastor was missing. What happens? The rest of the guys got together and they said, make us a golden calf that will make us go back to Egypt. They lost their vision for the future. They wanted to go back. Look at somebody and say, don't go back. I want to ask you something tonight. Are you always bombarded by your past? Or are you, in other words, are you pulled in your life by your past? Or are you pulled in your life by your future? If it's pulled by your past, you won't make progress. Are you with me? If you're always thinking about the past, you won't make progress. Week after week, you will come to church, attend worship, hear the word, good things to do. Continue to do that. But you will go back. But if you're pulled by your future, you will have passion, you will have purpose, you will have a zeal. Nobody has to drag you to church. You will be excited. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is something that is pulling you forward. There is progress in your life when you're pulled by your future. Look at somebody and say, pull their hand and say, be pulled by your future, not by your past. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? Yes. Amen. Most of the churches and most of the people want activities. They don't want a vision. They just want some activity or the other. No vision. There are nations that don't have a vision. You go to Dubai, the place that it is, the country that it is, or Singapore, it is that way because of a vision. You look at how those nations were 20 years or 30 years or 40 years back. It didn't just accidentally happen. Some leader in that nation had a vision. You need a vision for your business. Are you with me? You need a vision for your family. You need a vision in the church. Three people were working on a wall. They were actually building a wall. They were three bricklayers. Three people were laying bricks. So somebody came to the first one who was laying the brick and asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm laying bricks." Asked the second person, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a wall." Asked the third person, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm building a church." Are you with me? See, the third person had the vision about the end. It's just bricklaying, just laying bricks. But the third person had a vision about the end. In the end, this is going to be a church structure. This is going to be a cathedral. So he said, "Let me do it that way." The first person said, "Chumma, laying bricks." Second person said, "Just building a wall." I mean, look at the motivation levels in these three people. The first one, at the opportunity that he will get, he will quit. Are you with me? Because he's just laying bricks. അപ്പൊ ഇന്ന് പനിയാ സാറ ലീവാണ്, ശമ്പളം കൂടി തന്നില്ലെങ്കിൽ ഞങ്ങൾ ഇനി വരികയല്ല. ഇഷ്ടം ഇട്ടിട്ടിട്ട് ബോറാന്ന്. എല്ലാ ദിവസം വന്ന് ഉമ്മ പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുക, ബൈബിള് വായിക്കുക, ചേർച്ചി വരിക, ബോറാ. ഫസ്റ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ വിൽ ഓൾവേസ് ബി ഡിസ്കറേജ്ഡ്. ദി സെക്കൻഡ് പേഴ്സൺ വിൽ സേ, ഹാ, മതിലെങ്കിലും തീർത്തിട്ട് വീട്ടിൽ പോ. But the one who has got the vision about the end, the vision for the end, is going to, he will persist till he sees it fulfilled. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Your life is like laying bricks. If you're consistently discouraged and depressed and all that and frustrated, chances are that you don't have a vision. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and say, "Lord, give me a vision. Lord, give me a vision." Sometimes people serve in the church here. Is it just about laying the church chairs here and ushering in the people and putting the lights on and cleaning up the place and, you know, coming and just playing the instrument or just preaching and going off? No. We are building the body of Christ. We are doing what God has called us to do. If you lose that perspective with every kind of opposition, with every kind of obstacle, you will quit. You will choose another career. Who wants to do this? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The pastor who was supposed to be here on this weekend from Canada, Peter Yon Green, he was deported from the airport in Chennai. Go back. So the convention does not take place this week. The organizers called me, some of them called me and said, "We are so discouraged. We did so much of work. We had contacted almost 5,000 pastors across Kerala. We had done almost, you know, the work of the stage was almost over. We had invested so much. So discouraged." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit can never be stopped. I said, if there is somebody been restricted once, hallelujah, any servant of God, the Holy Spirit will raise up 10 others in this nation to take up that place and to declare the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to minister forth under the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, lift up the name of Jesus and give a clap offering to Jesus one more time tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. So what does a vision do in your life? Five things that vision does. Number one, a vision will always contradict or contrast your present reality. When you get a vision in your life, it will always contradict the reality of life that you are living now. Why? Because vision is futuristic. You can't see it now. It's all going to happen forward. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. Slaves. With hardly anything to eat. And God is giving them a vision. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. ഇന്നത്തെ നമ്മുടെ ചേർച്ചിലെ പോലെ വിശ്വാസികളാണെങ്കിൽ അവര് പറഞ്ഞാനെ, ആ പാസ്റ്റർ അങ്ങനെയൊക്കെ പറയാം, പട്ടിണി എടുത്ത് ഗ്യാസ് കയറി എന്റെ ദൈവമേ കിടക്കാൻ തുടങ്ങിയിട്ട് എത്ര ദിവസമായി. Are you with me? When Moses declared the vision, it contradicted the reality of the life they were living now. With all your weaknesses, with all your struggles, with all the battles that you've gone through, God has deliberately chosen you, the weak and the foolish, to shame the strong and the wise, to declare His gospel. It contradicts you. You feel the calling of God and you look at yourself and say, oh my God, this is who I am. I'm so weak. I'm struggling. What do I do? It will contradict. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But keep on pressing forward to Jesus Christ, because He who began the good work within you, He will bring it to completion. He will change you around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Vision is not your current situation. Number two, what vision does? Vision will confront your sense of comfort zone. It will confront your comfort zone. In other words, somebody who gets a vision from God cannot be in a cushion, just sleeping on a cushion. The reckless person will become more disciplined because of a vision. Are you with me? The happy-go-lucky guy will become a little bit more serious because of a vision. A vision will cause you to avoid certain paths. It'll make you a little uncomfortable. It'll challenge your laziness. Sometimes you ask people, what are they doing with their lives? The simple thing that they say is, I'm praying. I'm pratichondirikkuva. What about your finance? What about your time? What about your family? What about your energy? Pratichondirikkuva. Many a problem can only be sorted out if you will walk instead of just praying. You need to pray. I am somebody who believes in prayer. I pray a lot. Don't mistake me. What I'm saying is, sometimes it is just an excuse for laziness. You don't want to do anything. And so you say, I'm waiting on God. You're the most discouraged person. Just don't practically look at your life. Are you with me? The third thing that a vision will do, a vision consists always of new opportunities. Will always create a new way. Look at somebody and say, vision will always create a new way, a way out of your struggle. A vision will create that. How many of you love watching cartoons? It's okay. If you like watching cartoons, yeah. How many of you have seen the cartoon Tom and Jerry? Tom and Jerry? You seen the cartoon Tom and Jerry? Yeah. Suddenly, you know, Tom is chasing Jerry. And Jerry is running. He comes straight and hits against the wall. What does he do? He takes out a pencil, draws a door, opens it and goes in. Are you with me? Have you seen that? Cartoons, have you seen that? Huh? Have you seen cartoons? They have such imaginative minds. There's always a way out. When you feel trapped, you always draw a door and you get out. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Learn from Tom and Jerry. Praise the Lord. Wisdom from Tom and Jerry. Thanks be to the prophet Fred Quimby. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, a vision will make you, somebody with a vision cannot be hindered. You will make doors where there are no doors. You won't just sit and say, Ayya, trapped. Kolanju. Thirunu. Ayyo, inni endo cheyyum. Lift your head and say, Holy Spirit, open my mind, my imagination, my heart. Impart godly vision into my life. Amen. The fourth thing, a vision will always connect you to your resources. A vision will make you to connect to your resources. If you don't have a vision, no resources will come. Resources will only come if there is a vision. When we had to build up this place and buy this property, we didn't first look at how much money we had. If we looked at how much money we had, we would be moving from one rented hall to another even now because we didn't have money. But what I asked God was for a vision. Because if I get a vision from God, then the provision will come. Provision. Provision. Are you with me? Provision. 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 Provision will come when you have a vision. You are a businessman. You go to a bank. You want a loan. And the bank will ask you, what is your vision? How do you intend to repay what you're taking? Are you with me? Isn't that the way it is? If you sit there before the bank manager and says, Arnyaguda, ee joli konda kittu vanengi chalap idu kudukkan pattu varikim. Galfi naliyan aichu thanna chalap idu shiriyavu varikim. The bank will say, adutha aicha vato. But if there is a clear cut path, you're going to say, this is how it is. Then the provision will come. Come on, church, come on. Your business needs a vision. The fifth thing, a vision will focus your energy. Look at somebody and say, vision will focus your energy. Look at somebody and say that again. A vision will focus your energy. It will make you to concentrate your energy. You don't have unlimited time. And you need to concentrate your energy and your time. You need to use it wisely. Only a vision will give you that. You remember in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, a woman with an issue of blood came and touched Jesus. You remember that? And what did Jesus say? Energy or virtue or power has gone out of me. Now that is in a positive sense. That woman received the healing. But you should look for people who take out your energy. Are you with me? You should be concerned about people who steal your energy. You talk on the phone with somebody for half an hour, and by the time you've finished your gossip and, you know, speaking bad things about every other person, you feel like totally drained out. Why? Because that's not good company. Some people, you talk on the phone, your energy is sapped out. You need to learn to concentrate your energy. A vision will help you to do that. Some people don't deserve your anger. Are you with me? Because I'm seeing that. The moment I get angry, I lose my self-control. I get angry, I shout. And there are times I do that. Then it's like I'm sapped out. Even if I shout at my dog, then I have to go in and say, I have to really repent, you know, because you feel as if you're drained out. And the Lord told me, son, some people don't deserve your anger. Your anger is only to solve a problem. Some people are below the dignity of your anger. Ah, come on, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. A vision will keep you from losing your energy. It'll help you to concentrate your energy. Everybody in your school, in your college, might have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. But young people, you have a future to serve Jesus. And you say, everybody might have, but I'm not going that way. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to keep my life. I'm going to keep my energy to serve Jesus. Are you with me, girls? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at each other and say, hallelujah. No boyfriends. Papa and uncle and pastor will, hallelujah, rebuke you, correct you. Are you with me, guys? Why? Because you want to concentrate your life, your energy to serving Jesus. So how do you receive a vision? I'm so glad that you asked me that. How many want to receive a vision? Amen. Three people in the Bible. The first one is Paul. He received his vision through a spiritual revelation on the way to Damascus, Acts chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. On his way to Damascus, the Lord met with him. Are you with me? How many of you are trusting the Lord to meet with you? I have learned something. You can never force a revelation in somebody's throat. You can never force a revelation. It is not even in your power to demand it. I remember, you know, in my life, I used to spend years looking at people with a vision. I used to say, Lord, I want a vision. All my prayer time is consumed by me telling the Lord, Lord, I want you to give me a vision. Give me a vision. The Lord told me, son, you can't demand it. Just because you fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights, you don't need to get a vision. You can't force it. But thank God when He gives a vision, when He supernaturally reveals to people. Some of you have been supernaturally called by God. You had your moments with Jesus where the Lord clearly told you in the watches of the night, while you were in a car, in a church meeting, hallelujah, during worship, wherever, that He's called you, that you belong to Him, that He separated you. How many of you are grateful to God for a vision that He supernaturally imparted into your life? Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Lift your hands and thank Him for some time. Glorify His name tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. The second way that you receive a vision is like how Nehemiah received this vision. Nehemiah received this vision because of a deep concern for something. Deep concern for something. He heard walls of Jerusalem were burned down. The gates were burned down. But the children of Israel had gone into captivity. He heard it. It burdened his heart. He began to fast and seek the face of the Lord and began to ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do? And God gave him. Sometimes looking at the way your family is, the way your business is going, looking at the church, if you feel a burden, not a helplessness, you might feel helpless, but if you can take that helplessness, that burden into the presence of God, in prayer, in fasting, in seeking the face of the Lord and say, Lord, please, I don't know what to do. God will release wisdom into your life. He will release His plan over your life. He will release His resources over your life. Are you with me? Amen. And the third way, example is Joshua. He received a vision through association or through impartation. Lift your hands and say, thank God for impartation. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9. Are you with me? Huh? Impartation. He received an impartation from Moses. Moses imparted to him. There are times you can walk along with somebody who's got a vision, and that vision stirs you up. It's imparted to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Even tonight I sense I sense an anointing of impartation, of godly vision. Hallelujah. Just God's wisdom and His vision about your future. The last point, and I close with it. What do you do with your vision? And that is the scripture that we read in Habakkuk chapter 2. Six things that you do with a vision. The first one is you write it. Open your mouth and say, write it. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, write your vision. Write it. The act of writing a vision commits you to that vision. When you want a job, what do? When you want to go into the next class in your school, what do? When you apply for a job, what? So you have to write your resume. You have to write. You can't just go there and say, I'm so and so, I come from so and so. The company will be blessed if you guys take me. Neither. You write it. You show the resume. If you just learn the simple principle of writing down the vision, you will make significant progress. I remember when I was just going for prayer meetings and all that, and God gave me sent a vision that nations would be touched, that God would raise up an army in the last times. And God said, son, you will have a part to play in it. It burned in my spirit. In the last days before Jesus Christ comes back in great glory, there will be an end time move of the Holy Spirit on this planet earth. And there will be servants of God who are on the front lines, soldiers. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. And even in this nation of India, God is raising up. Praise the men and women of God of different age groups. Hallelujah. Across this nation to stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. To be battle ready. Hallelujah. The Lord said that to me. And He showed me a vision. It was a vision where, you know, over a mountain, from a mountain top, you're looking and an army is rising up. And that so burned in me. I wrote it down. I kept it. And many a time when I am kind of discouraged and depressed and feel like a failure and feel down and out, I look at it. Yeah. The Lord had told me I will have a small part in it, a small part. Lord, don't forget your promise. I want that small part that you have kept for me in that. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of it. Write your vision down. Habakkuk chapter 2, the second thing about the vision, it says there, write the vision and make it plain. Open your mouth and say, that's the second thing, make it plain. In other words, the vision should be broken down. Make it into achievable bits. 20 years, 5 years, 1 year. Are you with me? Before you ever preach in a convincing ground to hundreds of people, break it down to winning one person for Jesus this year. Don't sit and say, Pastor, the Lord showed me a vision. A bigger crowd than Renard Bonke had in Africa coming, and I'm preaching there. When is it? Huh? After Jesus comes. That is good. But how do you make it plain? What do I do for that today? In the next 1 year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. If each one of you can witness to one person in your family, bring one person to church. Are you with me? The youth meeting is starting up. If you can go forth and bring one youth, drag them into the house of the Lord and say, come, 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 come. The Lord will meet with you. The power of God will come upon you. Boom, boom, boom. You will find the stirring up of the Holy Ghost inside of you. Make it plain. Break it down. The Lord told me I would prophesy like Kenneth Hagin. But start off by reading God's word. This year at least trying to finish the Bible from page to page. Are you with me? Make it simple. Make it achievable. Oh, church, are you still with me tonight? Is this helping somebody? The third thing. A vision must produce action. It should inspire you, motivate you. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision and make it plain. For if you see it, you should run. Are you with me? Huh? You should run. Fourth one. A vision as a time frame. It says that it is. A vision is yet for an appointed time. I remember years back the Lord told me, you know, God will send us through the nations. And there were a lot of young people with me. And each year they're coming and asking me, Pastor, forget the nations. It's got a time frame. God spoke it. It's not overnight. Are you with me? The fifth one. A vision must lead to reality. It's not for fun. It is not to chumma say to somebody. You know what I mean? The person sitting next to you tells you a big vision, and you also go and say, oh, Kartavi, nodum paranju. Adithikin sister paranju, yan kannadachappa yan chakka kandu. Koranja yan oru maanga engilum kandillengilo ennu ortha yanum paranju, yanum kannadachappa maanga kandu. I mean, see, God for fun does not give you a vision. Are you with me? It will make you very level-headed. It will make you very teachable. It will make you very approachable. It will make you somebody with relate with. If it's something God given, nobody can steal it away. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The The last thing, and I close with it. A vision requires perseverance. Though it tarries, wait for it. Keep working on it. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. A company will grow into a bigger company not because of just favor, because of a vision. You ask any multinational company that's doing well, if they had a vision. You ask any developed nation, they'll say they had a vision for that nation. Chumma irunnu seyyunnittappam oru doodam vannu ingane thatti pinne nokkippa ella anga seriyayi. We charismatics and Pentecostals have a way of saying stuff like that. Definitely the favor of God, the blessing of God, the anointing of the Lord, but at the same time, hallelujah, a vision. Are you with me? Let's close our eyes in prayer. Make it very simple to just keep Jesus in front of you always. Either kneel down or stand up in the presence of the Lord this night. Would you lift your hearts and your hands to Him tonight? Would you say, Jesus, be my vision. Open my eyes. Open my understanding. Open my heart to have a revelation of You and Your purposes and Your plans in my life. Lord, help me to be what You have called me to be. I surrender my heart. I surrender my life, Jesus, to You. I surrender my family to You. I surrender my business to You. I surrender my church to You. I give You everything, Lord. Reveal Your purposes and Your plans for my life. Release an anointing of vision, Lord, upon my heart. I receive it by faith tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus. I renounce Satan. I renounce sin. I renounce the world. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, my Master, and Savior. I submit to You. Anoint me with Your Holy Spirit. Refresh me, renew me, stir me up for Your kingdom to do Thy will. Thank You, Lord. 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 Now lift your hands and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
Thank You, Father.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
Thank You, Hallelujah.
I want you to just stand up in the presence of the Lord. I just want you to keep your hand upon your mind and say these words with me. In the name of Jesus, I command every mind-blinding spirits to be bound in the name of Jesus. I command you to be loosed away from my life, away from my family, away from my church. Be gone to the feet of Jesus. You have no right over my life. I receive the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now lift your hands and praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.